Good morning. According to the accounts that are recorded for us, this Tuesday of Holy Week was the busiest day in our Lord's ministry. This is one of the parables he told on this day, Matthew 21, verses 33 to 42. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruits. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." The cornerstone of grace gives confidence. But you may be wondering, what does a vineyard have to do with a cornerstone? Well, you see, the vineyard was an Old Testament picture of the Lord graciously, personally, lavishly investing everything to prepare his people. He had planted choice vines, for by grace he had chosen and created a new people from Abram and Sarai, that dead rock and barren pit of man's inability to produce the promised Messiah or any godly people. By grace, he brought Israel forth from the barren pit of Egyptian bondage and planted them in the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. By grace, he built a hedge around them with his word of salvation. He set up a wine press and a tower of his grace in their midst. Daily, his transcendent presence and his grace were manifested among them. And yet, Israel denied him his fruits, spurned his grace, ruined his vineyard, and turned back to a barren pit. By grace, God again brought them out of that barren pit, this time of the Babylonian captivity, and planted them again in his grace. Once again, he looked for the fruits of faith. But Israel treated God's vineyard as if it was their own. They presumed that they had earned and deserved anything that it might have to offer. They could use it as they pleased. What more could God do? By grace, he determined that yet he would send them his son. They would respect his son. And he came to this dead rock for our salvation. The account of the vineyard proves that for two millennia, God's grace did everything to make them his fruitful people The vineyard proves that His grace was their cornerstone. He has done even more for the vineyard among us. By grace, Christ has suffered that fiery inferno of damnation that we deserve. By grace, the Holy Spirit has turned us from our natural, complacent spurning of God's grace. By baptismal grace, He has made us His choice vines and planted us in His vineyard. He's surrounded us with His word of truth, erected a wine press and a tower of grace here within our midst. And by grace, He comes to us looking for fruit. And yet how often don't we presume that we've earned, deserved God's blessings? That our possessions and pleasures are ours to do with as we please because didn't we work for them? God sets His hedge around us in His saving word in order to protect and preserve His vineyard. And yet, how often haven't we jumped outside that hedge of His word in order to be more like the world? So quickly we even presume, well, hey, it's my faith. I'll believe however I want to. Even with the church and school, so easily we can presume it's our vineyard. We use it for our benefit as we please. But presuming that we've earned, we've deserved, we own His vineyard is a rejection of the grace that has done it all for you and me. The vineyard proves that His grace alone is our cornerstone. And what owner would have given such wicked tenants so many chances? And yet one more. Behold His grace. I will send them my Son. They will respect my Son. By grace, Jesus' words on this day, even at that last moment, were intended to rouse the Jewish leaders to repentance. He reveals that He knows their secret counsels. He quotes the scripture foretelling that it is people claiming to be God's builders who are going to kill God's own Son. And the Jewish leaders knew He was talking about them. And yet, spurning God's grace, they redoubled their efforts to kill Him and seize the inheritance for themselves. Even then, they thought they were doing God's will. They thought they deserved the inheritance. But rejecting the cornerstone of God's own choosing, they were crushed by it and the kingdom given to others. What about you? Will we do the same thing? Jesus applies His warning to the Jewish leaders, to everyone, as He goes on. Verse 44. Whoever. This is a parable that destroys all confidence in self, even as it establishes absolute confidence in God's grace. Jesus knows what His own people are doing to Him. He knows that in this parable, prophecy The Father has condemned him to the cross. And yet he finds in the same prophecy the confidence of victory. He will be established as the cornerstone. Out of the blackest sin, he sees the greatest blessing. Jesus goes forth into this week, into that fiery pit of hell, confident in this cornerstone of grace, showing us that through Him, we can have the same confidence. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 465, stanzas 1 and 4.